Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Thursday. Great to be with you today. Now, I have the windows open in my room. The birds are really loud this morning. There's also a barking dog, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to leave it in the background. It's a beautiful day. It's actually a little too hot to close the windows. So that is the ambiance of today's programs, the sounds of spring, and I love it. Well, it's almost June. Summer's just about here. Well, after all the complaining I did about the cold weather, I am not going to complain about the warmth. It's fantastic. Well, our last audio, we discussed the greatest story never told, which was the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. It's not on any calendar. You know, we celebrate Christmas, but this is something that's probably even greater than the Christmas story, the incarnation. It's the day that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we learn that that was Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 9 is where God demonstrated his greatest grace, the grace that was in his heart since the beginning, before creation even. He was waiting for the day where he can unfold his love and grace on the worst of sinners, and he did it there in Acts 9. And then Paul wrote letters that correspond with the grace that was shown to him on that Damascus road. And in his letters, we find our truth for the body of Christ for today, where we see God's overwhelming and transcendent grace. Well, I said last time we're going to dig a little bit into Paul's background because it'll help us paint a picture of what was going through the mind of Saul of Tarsus that day in Acts chapter 9. Well, one thing we learn about Paul in the book of Acts is that he was raised in a town called Tarsus. Now, Tarsus was not an insignificant city. In Acts 21, verse 39, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 39, "Yet Paul said, I indeed am a Jewish man, a Tarsian of Cilicia," he's from Tarsus, a citizen of no insignificant city." That was his own words there in Acts 21, verse 39. Now, Tarsus was the home of a man named Sardanapalus. Now, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that properly. And he's the traditional founder of Tarsus, Sardanapalus. He was worshipped along with Semiramis with licentious rites which resembled those of the Feast of Tabernacles. So Saul, of course, you know, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he saw this stuff going on with the heathens there. Paul had probably witnessed this festival, and he had seen at the neighboring town, there was a town there right next to the town of Tarsus, there was a statue of Sardanapalus, and it represented him as snapping his fingers. And on the statue, there was an inscription at the pedestal that read, "Eat, drink, enjoy thyself. The rest is nothing." Now keep this in mind. Sardanapalus, there was a statue of him in a town right next door to Tarsus, and on the pedestal it read, "Eat, drink, enjoy thyself. The rest is nothing." Now Saul of Tarsus grew up seeing this and watching these rites being performed by these idolaters. Imagine Paul seeing that sign on the statue as a young boy. And the sign was full of despair. It offered no hope beyond this current mortal life. Later on, Paul would quote that inscription to contrast it with the expectation that was laid out for mankind in the evangel that he was now proclaiming. Imagine that. Paul was proclaiming later in his life an evangel that blew up that statue, essentially. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:32, and I'm going to turn there. And it's amazing how God used this later in Paul's life when he was giving out the truth of the evangel. Paul says this, he goes, if as a man I fight with wild beasts in Ephesus, what is the benefit to me? If the dead are not being roused, we may be eating and drinking, for tomorrow we are dying. In other words, if the dead are dead forever and there's no resurrection, we might as well live it up. But Paul had a message, a great message. It was a message of an expectation. He presented a hope to mankind, unlike that man in Tarsus. Resurrection is the fact that distinguishes the scriptures from all other books and religions, and especially Paul's message. The scriptures do not teach an out-of-body experience after death, but the certain expectation of the dead rising again. The biblical question is not, where do you go when you die, but if a man dies, shall he live again? That's the right question. And Paul answered it by saying, "For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. The first fruit, Christ, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence, and thereafter the consummation." Christ rose from the dead first, and he's a first fruit. A first fruit is basically the first of a crop, which is a pledge of a coming harvest. Philosophy says that there is no resurrection, but Paul says God will vivify all. Christ was the first, then the harvest follows. That was Paul's message. Those who are Christ will be vivified in his presence, and then later at the consummation, the rest of mankind. Poor Sardanapalus. He will be pleasantly surprised, won't he, when he sees the Savior who died for him and rose again. And it's a special privilege to be able to know this in our own lifetime. If you believe in Christ today, if you know that in Christ all shall be vivified, be thankful, because you have an expectation. That poor man Sardanapalus had no clue, but one day Sardanapalus will stand before his Savior. He will be justified and vivified. It's just too bad he didn't get to know that in his own lifetime. Well, we see this is where Paul grew up, Saul of Tarsus. He was from Tarsus. We saw the philosophy going on in there. It was a hopeless city with a hopeless philosophy, but we see Paul, later on when he met Christ, had the message that answered Sardanapalus's despair. And so this is good to see in Saul's background. Well, tomorrow we're going to talk about Paul's Roman citizenship and how Paul is a Jew and Gentile in one person. He's like a perfect demonstration of what his message is all about. According to Ephesians, the Jew and Gentile are one body in Christ, and Paul personified that in himself. That'll be tomorrow. We're digging into the life of the man we call Paul, the Apostle of the Nations. We're giving his background so it'll help add flavor to the message he proclaimed. And that, again, tomorrow we'll talk about his Roman citizenship and the fact that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and how in his teaching later that affected him and for our benefit. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening today. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God as he's revealed in the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.